All right. This morning we're going to be in Mark chapter 8. There are some passages in Scripture whose meaning is not simply found in the words of the text. This is one of them. Let's take a look at it. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus. Oh yeah, kids, you guys can go. Hey, if we're going to jump all the timetables, you guys get to go now. Okay, sermon take two. All right, starting in verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently, and he was restored. And he began to see everything clearly. And Jesus sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Some passages, like this one, the meaning is not simply found in the words of the text, but in the whole context that it's written. One miracle is happening here. This blind man is receiving his sight, but there's a lot. But there's a lot more happening here. If you don't read broadly, you miss the big point. Let me show you what I mean. At the end of chapter 7, there is a deaf person that Jesus unstops his ears. And it's not just any deaf person, but it's a Gentile deaf person. And Jesus comes up to this guy and he takes him out of the crowd, just like this time he takes him out of the crowd, and he puts his fingers in his ears and he takes him out and he touches his tongue to his lip, his finger to his tongue, and touches his finger to the deaf man's tongue, and the man is able to hear and speak again. And in chapter 8, it begins with the feeding of the 4,000. And it's not just feeding any 4,000 people, but these are 4,000 Gentile people, that they are gathered in the wilderness. They've been following Jesus for 3 days. They've been with Jesus, and he's been teaching them. And all of it, and at the end of that time, they're hungry, they're tired. And so Jesus does what only God can do. He gives them bread from heaven. Gentiles fed at the hand of the Messiah. Then they got on the boat and they went across back into Jewish territory, and they come to a bunch of Pharisees who they say, "Give us a sign that you're from God. Show us some really great trick. Show us something really bigger than you've ever done up to this point so that we will believe who you are." Jesus doesn't do it. He gets in the boat, heads across the lake again, and the disciples realize partway into it that they've forgotten the bread. So they're on this long journey. They have nothing to eat. And Jesus is teaching them, and he says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." And the disciples just flip out because they've forgotten the bread, and they know that Jesus is just egging them on, needling them about the bread. And so Jesus reminds them, "I fed 5,000 people, Jewish people, in the wilderness. I fed 4,000 Gentiles in the wilderness, all from just a few pieces of bread." And then do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples after he said that? In verse 18 of chapter 8, he says this. He says, "Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you have hardened hearts?" Did you catch that? That he takes this whole thing where the disciples don't get it, where he takes this whole thing where they feed the 4,000, where they go across the lake and the sign, and then coming back across and no bread, and he says, it's framed by the unstopping of the ears and the opening of the eyes. And he says to the disciples, "Do you have ears but do not hear? Do you have eyes and do not see?" Think that just accidentally happened there? I don't think so. I think that Mark is trying to tell us something. I think there's more going on here than simply a deaf man hearing and a blind man seeing. I wonder if it's not real deafness that Jesus is concerned about. I wonder if it's not real blindness that he's concerned about. I wonder if he's not ready to unstop the ears and open the eyes of the disciples. He asks the question in verse 21, "Do you not yet understand?" Verse 22, "And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him." Jesus is met by the crowd, one of whom is blind. They want Jesus to heal him. You know, blindness is a terrible thing. In the ancient world, if you were blind, it meant that you lived a life of begging. It meant that you were poor all of your life. Now, in the modern world, it kind of means the same thing. You know, if you don't have sight, you can't do very much in the world. It's very hard to get a job. It's very hard to exist in the world because we're a world that's oriented around our sight. Now, if you don't have eyes, you have an image of the world. You hear it, you smell it, you touch it. You have an image of the world. But it's not the same as a sighted person. It's something very different and something incomplete from what a sighted person has. We are a people who are born blind. Now, actually, I don't know when I lost my sight. I don't know whether I was born blind or shortly after that, but what I know is that as far back as I can remember, I've been blind. I tried to put the world together on my terms, kind of wandered around, feeling faces, trying to get it all figured out, examining the world with my hands, but hands are not eyes. And it's pretty easy to see how somebody who's just seeing with their hands can get confused with their world. It's easy to see if you're seeing with your hands, you can think that all of the meaning of life is in our existence, you know, because all you're seeing is stuff this far away from you. Or it's easy to see how you could imagine that maybe we came from monkeys. It's easy to see if you're just feeling through your world with your hands that you might think that we're the very center of the universe, or that the world exists for our pleasure, or that money and power are really the rewards of a good life. It's called blindness. You know, that you're feeling your world out with your hands. Well, at some point, as you go down this path, at some point, you start realizing that there's more to life than the things that you can touch. And you start trying to find reason and meaning with your hands. Something outside of your reach. But what's interesting to me is that sometimes people find religion. And they find it with their hands. And they begin to explore. And what they find is that religion is something you can explore with your hands. They come up with a God that's very small. They come up with a God that they can get their hands around, that they can put in a box, that's just like what they want. They come up with a very small God that mostly cares about them, a God that's all about my people, Israel, about my bread, about my salvation, about my healing, about my performance. And we construct a theology that puts us at the very center of the world. And we think that God is like us. And this is what we call nationalism. Or this is legalism. This is what the Pharisees did. And it's what we do. We feel our way through the Bible. And we come up with a list of do's and don'ts that mostly we do and mostly we don't. And we're pretty sure that by our list, by what we felt our way through and feel, that we're better than other people. But we're doing it all by feel. And the reason is that we're blind. At some point, I realized I was blind. So the crowd brings this man to Jesus. Taking the blind man by the hand, Jesus brought him out of the village. After spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" Again, like the deaf man, Jesus takes him away from the crowd because this is not some show that he's doing in the crowd. This is not for the crowd. This is for this man. And it's also for the disciples. This is a lesson for the disciples. It's interesting to me that Mark is so specific that as to say he took the blind man by his hand and he brought him out of the village. Now, this is, at this very moment, a very intimate healing. Takes him by his hand. He is led by Jesus by his hand. He takes the hand of the blind man. Now, it's probably reading more into this text than is there, but think about it this way. Jesus takes the eyes that this man has, his hands, and he takes him and opens his eyes. Jesus takes him and leads him out. Like with the deaf man, Jesus uses spit to make him better. He says, after spitting in his eyes, laying his hands on him, he said, "Do you see anything?" Now, of course, that's a little gross. But the point is not the grossness. The point is to connect the healed with the healer. The point is that this is an intimate connection. Jesus could have healed with a word. He could have healed with a touch. He could have healed in dozens of different ways. But this healing, like the one before, is an intimate touch connected with the very saliva in Jesus' mouth. Now, here's one of the keys to living a life that's beyond, to seeing beyond our hands, beyond what we can touch. Jesus is not some system of beliefs. He's not some religion. Jesus is a person. And that changes everything. You remember the movie Driving Miss Daisy? It's an old movie, I know. It's scary, isn't it, that that's an old movie? But anyway, it's an old movie, and the premise is a common one. You've got this old lady in one of the southern states, and she's very prejudiced, and she's not able to drive. So her son hires a black chauffeur for her. And it's Morgan, played by Morgan Freeman, does a brilliant job of it. Anyway, so she hates and fears black men. Well, over the course of time, you know what happens. They become friends, and he ceases to be a black man and is just a friend. And it all changes. And how does it change? Because she stops seeing him as a black person and sees him as a person. It changes everything. Whenever I was a kid, the funniest jokes you could tell about a stupid person were Polish jokes. We call them Polak jokes. And I'm not sure why Polish people were the brunt of stupid jokes. I don't know why. But I guess I really believed that Polish people were stupid, and somewhere deep in my soul, I believed that. That was until I met Wieszek Pruszkowski, and he was this brilliant man who led worship at a church where we were attending, and we became deep friends. And he was absolutely brilliant. And I don't think I have ever told a Polak joke since then. Why? Because he's a person. And that changes everything. It's easy to categorize people and talk about people and paint everybody with one brush. It's easy to paint them and show them as different than we are. And different, that's important because we're really the gold standard, right? But it's easy to do that until you actually meet them. It's easy to suppose that we have God all figured out. You know, that we know exactly who he is. And it's interesting that he thinks and acts just like we want him to. He is white, as opposed to the black Jesus up there. You know, he's an American. You know, God is for America. He's a Republican, you know. He loves the people that I love. He hates the people that I hate. He goes to war with the people that I go to war with. He thinks the same things that I do about morality. If he lived in Hillsboro, he'd come to Singing Hills, wouldn't he? Because he's just like us. But guess what? All of that changes when we get to know the person. Jesus takes us by the hand, and he spits and he touches our eyes, and they begin to open. And guess what? Jesus is not like us. He's not a religion. He's not a philosophy. He's not a church. He's not a morality. He's a person. And that changes everything. Jesus asks the man, he says, "Do you see anything?" I don't think Jesus is checking his work here. I think this is for our benefit. He's touched the man. The healing has begun. He's interacting with him. He says, "What do you see here?" If we are ever going to get beyond seeing with our hands, then we have to ask, what are we seeing? We've got to stop imagining that we can actually see everything that we need to see with our fingers. And we need to open our eyes and look and see what there is to see. To stop imagining that we have everything figured out and let Jesus touch our eyes. Do you see anything? And he looked up and he said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." He can see. But what he sees, he doesn't understand. He can identify the major players out there. There are men and there are trees. He was obviously a camper. But he says, "They're men, but they look like I imagine trees to be." You know, he's confused. I mean, remember, if you've never seen something, it's hard to figure out what exactly you're seeing. We've operated on what we can touch for so long, and we've ordered our world accordingly, that sometimes if Jesus starts to heal us, it can be a little bit confusing. You know, what he opens our eyes and we look around, and guess what? The world is not like we imagined it. It's different than what we thought it would be. And it's certainly not like what I thought it would be when I touched it and I saw it with my hands. The categories that we have for people, they don't work. There's no Jew and Gentile. There's no male and female. Religious categories don't work. The goodness and the morality and the law and the tradition and the categories even that I have for myself don't work. You know, I'm not the center, and God's not like me, and I'm not perfect. And in fact, I mean, when I look at it, I'm barely normal. All of the feelings that we have of superiority start to look pretty silly, really. When our eyes are open. You know, remember when Jesus and the disciples are at the table and the Syrophoenician woman comes and she begs Jesus, "Heal my daughter." And the disciples can't imagine that he would heal them. It's no wonder he healed her, because he loves her. When your eyes start to open, you know, these feelings of superiority, they start looking kind of silly. Of course Jesus fed 4,000 Gentiles. They were hungry. You know, it's no wonder Jesus didn't play ball with the religious authorities. They were trying to trap him. You know, of course God is working in other denominations because they're serving him. Of course God isn't going to wipe all of the enemies of America off the map. He loves them. It's no wonder God doesn't bless my political party. They're working against him. You see, things that we thought were so important before, as our eyes open, as we look around, do you see anything? Yes. I see that the things that I thought were so important are really not that important. You know, are you a member of my church? Do you dress like I dress? Do you sing my songs? Do you read my translation? Do you subscribe to my theology? Do you have my traditions? They're not that important anymore. They just don't matter like I thought they did. Because now we're seeing with our eyes and not with our hands. And it makes all the difference in the world. And we still don't understand it. We're still trying to get our brain around it. men are walking around like trees. We're trying to figure out how everything fits into our categories. And what we're finding is that our categories don't work very well. They're not very adequate. Verse 25. Then again, Jesus laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he began to see everything clearly. The healing is made complete. The man looks intently. He just kept looking at the things that he saw, these men walking around. Jesus touches him, and he looks harder, and he sees clearly. If we want to see clearly, it depends on two things. We have to stay engaged with Jesus, and we have to keep looking. We have to look harder. We can't be satisfied with some sight. We can't be satisfied seeing people walk around like trees. We need to see clearly. It's not just, you see, it's not just that we can't hate Gentiles. We have to love them. It's not just that we have to not treat women like property. We have to see them like they are. And treat them like people. It's not that we're not to judge other Christians. We have to embrace them as brothers. That's very different. It's not just that we're not blind. We want to see. That's very different. And it comes by being engaged with Jesus, that he touches us. You know, there was a time that I thought that I could see, but I was blind. There was a time that I thought I'd been healed, but really, men look like trees. And the more time that I spend with Jesus, the clearer my vision is. So, you know, we have disciples who have ears but don't hear, and eyes that do not see. And Jesus has come to unstop their ears and open their eyes. And this morning, we come to have our eyes opened. And one of the things we're going to see, if you read ahead, is that God intends to open their eyes much more clearly, make their vision much more clear. But this morning, I don't want to jump ahead. This morning, I want us to stop and to understand what it is to be blind. This morning, I want us to stop here and meet Jesus that he might open our eyes. And I want us to linger here long enough that we just keep looking so that our eyes can become clear. Let's stand and let's ask Jesus, open our eyes.